This is People Every Day. Coming up, Lady Gaga's dog walker is shot and her dog stolen in Hollywood. Plus, Khloe Kardashian denies being photoshopped, The Voice turns 10, and activist Amanda Nguyen's fight to end hate crimes against Asian Americans. It's February 25th. Hi, guys. This is People Every Day, presented by Macy's, and it is I, your host, Janine Rubenstein, taking you through the top news and notes from Hollywood and beyond on this Thursday. Is Throwback Thursday still a thing? I was just scrolling along this morning, and I remember Thursdays, people used to post all these fun, cringeworthy old pics, but now, like, nada, you know, but I don't blame anyone because, look, let's look to the future and get through all of this craziness out there. So cheers to that. Later on in the show, I talked to Amanda Nguyen, an activist dedicated to making the future better. Her new focus is calling attention to and helping stamp out attacks and hate crimes against Asian Americans who are being targeted right now in the wake of COVID-19. So stick around for the powerful stuff she has to say on that. But right now, let's talk breaking news. Joining me is People staff editor Jeff Nelson and digital crime editor Greg Hanlon. Hi, Jeff.
Hi.
Hi, Greg.
Hi, Janine.
Okay, let's dig into the truly terrifying news about Lady Gaga's dog walker being shot in Hollywood. So, Greg, take me through it right now, and just in terms of the TikTok, what do we know happened?
Yeah, it's a really, really awful story. This happened about 9:40 on Wednesday night, and the dog walker was out with the dogs. And he was shot, and we just learned critically wounded. He's in critical condition in the hospital. And the thief, who all that we know about him was that he was a male, took two dogs, the French bulldogs, and then left in a white vehicle. And this happened in Hollywood.
What was happening? So, what do we know about, was this an everyday walk? Like, Jeff, like, I know she has, how many dogs?
She has several dogs. She has at least three French bulldogs. And what we know is that the dog walker was out with those three French bulldogs, and two of them were stolen, and one of them thankfully got away and was eventually recovered. And it's reported right now that Gaga is offering $500,000 for the return of the dogs, no questions asked.
This is insane and so scary. So I was talking to my producer about, you know, French bulldogs and just how expensive they. I didn't know this. I knew that, you know, they were pretty fancy, but I didn't know the extent to which, you know, they were sought after. Greg, do you know if that is like being looked at as a motive to steal these? I mean, I heard they go for $4,000 a pop.
Yeah, they're in very high demand. They're the fourth most popular dog in America, according to the American Kennel Club. I was speaking with a advocate for, you know, French bulldogs and pugs. And she told me that you see these dogs getting stolen all the time because they're popular and easy to steal.
But stolen at gunpoint and then someone like this is wild, right? Like this is not.
This seems to be normal, to be really, really extreme. And obviously you have to feel for Lady Gaga, who's, you know, in Italy filming a movie, and then to hear this news and to be, you know, halfway across the world, that's obviously really devastating.
Oh, yeah. Jeff, tell me, you are a Gaga stan. You know everything about her. You've talked to her. You've interviewed her. Tell me a little bit about, one, what we know about her dogs and what they mean to her, but what she has going on right now.
Yeah, I mean, anyone who knows Gaga knows that she's an animal lover. Her dogs are a huge part of her life. I mean, all you have to do is take a peek at her Instagram. Like any pet owner, she's always posting photos of the dogs. Her dogs have been in her documentary, 5 Foot Two. You might remember that her Frenchie Asia, who thankfully was not dognapped, actually starred in a fashion campaign for Coach and also appeared with Gaga on the cover of Harper's Bazaar a few years ago. So, I mean, these dogs are a huge part of her life, and this just must be absolutely devastating for her.
Yeah, but of course, also, you know, her dog walker. Like, I mean, like when we're Do we know anything about him, where he's coming from? Because at first, when I heard, you know, how horrific this was, I was thinking somebody was targeting, you know, him, and that this was, you know, something that was personal.
I have not heard anything about him. The LAPD, you know, like most police departments, doesn't tend to identify, you know, living crime victims, you know, and hopefully he pulls through.
And then lastly, Jeff, could you just take me through what we know we're supposed to be looking forward to with Gaga? Like, you know, this is, of course, a huge tragedy that's hitting her, but she had stuff slated, right?
Yeah. I mean, last year, really, as the pandemic was hitting, she held the release of her album Chromatica. The album came out last summer. It was, I mean, a huge triumphant return for her to her dance pop roots. But at the same time, she really kind of took a step back and has been very heavily involved in COVID relief the past year. But I mean, obviously she is back to work right now. As Greg mentioned, she's in Italy right now. She's filming a new Ridley Scott movie, and she's playing Maurizio Gucci's ex-wife, Patrizia Reggiani, who of course was found guilty of orchestrating the fashion heir's assassination back in the 90s. So this is a huge role for her. And yeah, a huge step for her in her acting career.
Well, I'm just hoping they find those dogs and that dog walker is okay and pulls through. This is so crazy. You guys, thank you so much for taking me through this news.
Thanks, Janine.
Yeah, thanks, Janine.
I'm here now with Zoe Ruderman, you know, just big shot running everything over on the digital side of things at People, but she also can really take us into these next few stories, which are a bit lighter. Zoe, let's talk Khloe Kardashian and go to Kardashianville. her new Good American campaign, the images came out, of course, all about the photos with the Kardashian family. But fans, let's say commenters, we're not going to call them fans, have kind of called out what they think is a huge Photoshop fail with these images. I mean, if you've seen them, go to people.com to look at them. They are artistic. She's very elongated, and especially her feet. Her feet are very long. And of course, this is for the first shoe line for Good American, her jeans company. They have shoes now. But everyone is talking about just how oddly proportioned these images are. What did you think when you first saw them?
I had the same thought you did, Janine. I thought, this is a shoe ad. This is a big deal. It's the first time they're launching shoes, boots, and they've elongated the shoes themselves. It actually reminded me of those Steve Madden ads from the 90s. Do you remember? Where like the shoes are enormous. Mm-hmm. So yeah, very quickly people got into it. They were saying this is a Photoshop fail. And you know, Khloe is not one to sit back and just let people, you know, set the narrative for her. She took to Twitter. She said she found it really funny. She said, I'm cracking up. She said this was, it was about the lens. It wasn't Photoshop. She said, you know, it was the angle of the lens. She clarified, I did not have surgery on my hands or feet. Because Janine, you saw these, like her fingers are bizarrely long.
It was like Edward Scissorhands.
It was kind of creepy Halloweenish, in my opinion. But yeah, she made it seem like this was intentional. Obviously, we know there have been lots of cases in the past where unintentional Photoshop things got leaked or came out.
Yeah, I mean, for me, cool image. I had to do like a double take. I didn't look like Khloe to me at all.
Me
so
too.
Definitely they were trying to do something with these images to kind of just make it look different. But let's get into, you know, why that was such a knee-jerk reaction for fans and people on social media, because there have been, you know, Photoshop issues in the past, right?
I mean, especially family-wide. The Kar Jenners have a long history of being called out for Photoshopping images. Sometimes it's for these professionally shot campaigns. More often though, it's like Instagram or Snapchat photos. And here's the trick that everyone uses for the tip-off. You look at the background. So often it's like people notice like the curtain or the window is curved in the back. Or there was one instance where it was Kendall and the strap of her dress actually didn't meet up. So you could tell that like two parts of her body had been moved. So sometimes it's much more obvious and not artistic, to use your word, Janine.
Yes. Well, I mean, let's get into it, though. Do you use filter? You know, there was that whole hashtag no filter and all of this. This is real. But how do you feel just on your social media?
Honestly,
pages?
I've never posted an Instagram that's not filtered. So I kind of want to be like, isn't that the whole purpose of the platform? Like, yeah. I want to look better. I use that Paris filter. I've used the Paris filter on my baby and I'm not afraid to admit it. Like, that's part of what the platform is. Everyone else is doing it. To me, it doesn't feel like you're faking something. I will say I've never gone in and like manipulated to make my waist look smaller or my butt look bigger, which, you know, we've seen photos.
Well, I definitely use the under eye concealer wand thing on one of these apps before. My friend put me onto it and I said, oh my God, I look so much better. I look like I slept and I have no
children.
Well,
that's the problem is that once you start to put those out and then you see people in person and they're like, oh, you look different than on Instagram. I'm like, oh no.
Right. Well, I do both. So if you go through my Instagram feed, you will see me looking cray cray and you will see me looking absolutely fabulous. I don't think that's smart, but that's what I do.
Cause I feel like, you know, obviously there's so many instances where like you see a photo on a cover and like a celebrity is missing a leg. Like there was an instance yeah. where like Priyanka Chopra didn't have an armpit. Her arm was above her head and it was like totally smoothed out. And she spoke out about that. Then Adam Levine lost part of his torso. Like those are true fails. That's not a lens. That's not like a little bit of a touch up. So I feel like you touching up your under eye or your eyebrows is a little bit different than like chopping off a leg or changing your waist totally.
For sure. For sure. And I'm just going to say, as you know, getting back to Chloe, as a Bigfoot girl myself, I appreciate it. Makes me feel like they'll actually have my size in these good American shoes.
Yeah, totally. And you got to say, like, we're talking about it. We're looking at the images. So she's a marketing mastermind, in my opinion.
Chris is behind this. So Chris Jenner. let's move along to, and you actually brought this guy out, Adam Levine, but he's not on the show anymore. It is the 10th anniversary of, can you believe this? The Voice.
I actually can't believe
it. The Voice. The Voice, like that, when I saw this, and it's in People magazine this week, we got the current cast together. Of course, there's been so many iterations, but 10 years it's been since The Voice launched.
It makes me feel old, Janine.
Me too.
None of them thought this was going to be a success. And in fact, they talked, I think Blake was the one who said, like, we kind of laughed at this. We thought, like, really? This is the show? No one thought it would take off like it did. But obviously, 10 seasons, I mean, 10 years is no joke.
We've had multiple sexiest men alive out of this show, right?
Yeah, we have had three so far. And I feel like, you know, they talk about how the sexiness rubs off. I feel like we've got a Joe Bro who now might think he's in the running for this.
They actually got into that. Let's take a listen to what they had to say about their SMA winning streak.
Nick is next to Blake this season, so I feel like it's going to happen for you, Nick.
It's your time, buddy.
It's my time.
How would you feel about that, Nick?
I would feel like I was in very odd company, given the fact that John and Blake were both sexy.
That was the most PC answer ever. He's like, I feel like it means nothing at this point.
Well, you know what? Look, we have a great eye, okay? And I think they are not giving themselves enough credit. Okay, Blake Shelton has a cult, you know, fandom, and John Legend, swoon, right?
Of course. Also, I don't know if people realize the amount of conversations and debate that go into choosing the sexiest man alive. Like, the day that the issue comes out, we start talking about who the guy is for the next year. This is like, I mean, we take this part of our job very seriously. We're doing God's work here. But yeah, there's a lot of debate that goes into it. It's a pretty honorable title. So I feel like the race is now open.
It definitely is. And, you know, we're not going to count Nick Jonas out. He's pretty hot.
I'm willing to consider him. I'll do that for him.
Zoe, thank you so much. Coming up, Amanda Nguyen on the call to action that's creating change for Asian Americans. Stay tuned.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
The woman joining me now is a bona fide changemaker. She literally won the Nelson Mandela Changemaker Award, and for good reason. Amanda Nguyen is a social entrepreneur and civil rights activist who has fought for the rights of sexual assault survivors for years. But it's her most recent fight against the rise in hate crimes targeting Asian Americans in the wake of COVID-19 that brings her here today. The NYPD reported that hate crimes motivated by anti-Asian sentiment jumped 1,900% in New York City in 2020. And a report by the Asian American Bar Association of New York found that there were more than 2,500 reports of anti-Asian hate incidents in the country between March and September of 2020. Amanda's with me now to discuss just what's going on and what she and others are doing to stop it. Hi, Amanda.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
No problem. No problem. So, as founder and CEO of the civil rights organization Rise, you've been fighting the good fight for a while now, right? But earlier this month, you took to social media with a video, not about your work with sexual assault victims, but about the onslaught of violence against Asian Americans. So what was behind that? Like specifically, what had you seen or heard that led you to create the video?
You know, I created that moment, that viral video now, because I was just so mad. You know, what happened was I had seen these horrific stories about Vichha's murder, about this elderly Vietnamese woman being assaulted, this Filipino man having his face slashed in the subway all in the span of a week. And I saw these on Asian blogs, but couldn't find any more information about it in mainstream media. And I thought to myself, first of all, these stories need to be covered. This is something that's happening to the AAPI community. Our community is being attacked. And second, I wanted people to have a call to action.
For sure. Like you said, in the video, you brought up so many stories. And one of the big one was the 91-year-old man who was pushed in San Francisco.
That's right.
And died 2 days later. Just horrific. Why do you think this issue wasn't getting the attention it was until now? You know, attention probably largely because you picked up that call to arms.
Yeah. So first of all, I turned to social media, right? Because the mainstream media locked us out of the narrative. And social media, I think, has this platform, very democratizing platform. But to answer your question about why I think these stories haven't been told before, I think it has largely to do with the model minority myth. This idea that a group of minorities, Asian American, Pacific Islanders, can be used as a wedge against different communities of color, specifically by saying that they're white adjacent AAPI folks can be successful. Right? There's this concept called the bamboo ceiling, where if you work really hard, if you play by the model minority rules, that one day when you work and you climb up the corporate ladder, you will be handed the keys to the kingdom. That's quite frankly just wrong. And I think that has bled over heavily into the way that our education system is run. So many people aren't informed, educated about the tragedies and the sacrifices and contributions that Asian Americans have contributed to America. And critically, that has made us just invisible.
Wow. You are taking me back to Berkeley Black History Studies. That's the first time I ever heard model minority. And thank you for bringing it back to the forefront. Anyone who doesn't know about that, you should, because it's so interesting and important. Amanda, as someone who identifies as Asian American, has the increase in prejudice affected you or someone in your circle personally? Have you felt the weight of all this?
Absolutely. The way that it's most prevalently been felt for me is exhaustion. It's a fog of fear walking out the door. I have friends who have texted me saying, oh, I'm trying to figure out how to wear my mask in a different way, to draw my eyeliner in a different way, to make my eyes look bigger. And what is it for? All of these horrific incidences have been in places that are so daily. People lit on fire, people having acid thrown on them. These are incidences that happened in America. And I want to call attention to what happened in March of 2020. A two-year-old and a six-year-old were stabbed in a grocery store. And the guy who stabbed them thought they were Chinese, they're Burmese. And he, on the record, said that he stabbed them because he thought that they were spreading COVID.
I mean, that it's horrific. And it just takes me to this question that, of course, we know there's COVID-19 and we know all the misinformation and the disinformation around it. But why in your opinion are we here? Like why are you seeing the rise that you're seeing? Is it just because of that? Is it just because of those horrific headlines that we saw in March of 2020 and all of that?
You know, anti-Asian hate crimes and discrimination, unfortunately, has existed long before COVID. It existed as soon as Asian Americans, as Asian people stepped into this country.
Yeah.
And we see this with the Chinese Exclusion Act, with the internment camps in the 1900s. This is what happens when you literally erase a whole group of people and you other them. So what do I mean by other? There's a concept called the perpetual foreigner, right? This idea that I'm sure every single API Asian brother and sister out there has probably heard a version of this question, which is, where are you from? No, really, where are you really from? And while it may seem like an innocent question, at the root of that is this idea of xenophobia. You don't belong.
Are you seeing support from other minority groups? There's been so much talk in recent years about, you know, what people can do to come together in the face of just a rise in racism in general.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, the first person who probably shared my video and is responsible for it becoming a zeitgeist moment now is Questlove. He was the first person who posted it on his feed. And then I think Amy Schumer posted it, Wanda Sykes posted it, and then it really blew up from there. But beyond these celebrities, I am so, so grateful for the solidarity that other groups, especially the Black community, has shown in this moment to the AAPI community. So grateful. One, for them showing up, and two, so that I can learn from how they have paved the pathway for us to have this conversation right now.
For sure. We just recently saw a march that was held in New York City, and you have so many celebrities, Asian American celebrities, who are just calling this out and demanding that there be something changed, some action to come out of this. So are you feeling encouraged? Are you hopeful? And if so, like, what would you say is the most encouraging thing that's happening right now?
I've been getting flooded, literally thousands of messages of, hey, for the first time, I feel like my grief is visible. Thank you so much for speaking up, because I feel like I can share my truth. Here's how I was discriminated against. And I am hopeful, also heartbreaking, broken reading these posts, but I think the way to heal is first acknowledge that there's a problem. And that's what's happening right now.
I love it. Thank you so much, Amanda, for taking the time and for speaking up here. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you so much for covering this story.
That was Amanda Nguyen. For more on how she and STARS are fighting against hate, head over to people.com. Before you go, here's a little something to make you smile. Since this pandemic began, many of us have become a lot more sedentary. No judgment, I'm not exempt. But one grandmother from Germany isn't taking this quarantine thing sitting down. Listen here.
Geht das auch schneller? Schneller, 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 schneller.
That's 81-year-old Erica Rischko and her trainer. She's become TikTok's newest viral sensation for her incredible workout routines, where she does planks, push-ups, and even breaks out her best dance moves. She has amassed over 125,000 followers and more than 2 million likes on the app. And she looks good. That's it. I have no more excuses. Have a great day.